This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Spank you very much.
This story has been so done. A waste of my fucking time. Look at these poor fucking birds. All covered in some kind of fucking oil, ecological, catastrophic... Fuck it. It's so goddamn horrible. Jesus Christ.
Poor fucking bird.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine. Now with 50% less headlines. I am your host, the Stimulator, and just in time for Earth Day, the man your mama calls Obama aimed to appease the Tea Party douchebags by taking a shit on the motherfucking planet.
We need to make continued investments in clean coal technologies and advanced biofuels. A few weeks ago, I announced loan guarantees to break ground on America's first new nuclear facility in 3 decades.
Yep, not only does our commander in shit want to convert food into fuel while furthering the ridiculous notion of clean coal or safe nuclear power, but he also wants to...
Drill, baby, drill, and drill now!
So today we're announcing the expansion of offshore oil and gas exploration. That's why my administration will consider potential areas for development in the mid and South Atlantic and the Gulf of Mexico.
So who really gives a flying fuck if there's a spill in the Gulf of Mexico, right? After all, it's mostly brown people who live down there. Offshore drilling and oil tanker accidents bring to mind the Exxon Valdez disaster or the oil-soaked birds in San Francisco in 2007. But you don't have to go too far. Just this week, a Chevron pipeline leaked over 18,000 gallons of crude oil into the Delta National Wildlife Refuge in Louisiana, which happens to be in the Gulf of Mexico.
Drill, baby, drill, and drill now!
And speaking of tanker accidents, a ginormous Chinese ship ran aground on the Great Barrier Reef off the coast of Australia. The tanker has been spewing out gobs of oil into this natural wonder, but the troubling payload of the ship is the 65,000 tons of clean coal headed towards Chinese power plants. It's because of accidents like these that a coalition of First Nations is opposing a proposed pipeline that will move nasty-ass oil from
the motherfucking tar sands
to big-ass supertanker ships on the coast of BC. The 100-plus communities that have expressed their disgust with the Enbridge project make up most of the BC coast, making it impossible for Canada to pipe tar sands oil through its stolen territory to the Pacific Ocean. Enbridge is the same company behind the Clipper pipeline that will bring tar sands oil to the U.S. Here is Coastal First Nation Executive Director Art Sturrett.
I think Enbridge is going to find out that we are not trifling with this. There's going to be legal and whatever other means that we can use to stop this.
And last but not least, a Mexican newspaper claims to have snapped a shot of Subcomandante Marcos, the leader of the indigenous rebel group the Zapatistas. As a response to this allegation, Marcos issued a statement and decided to unmask himself.
I'm
going to give you two things. First, my photo, without a ski mask. And then I'm going to take it off.
Hermanos, nosotros nacimos de la noche. En ella vivimos, moriremos en ella. Pero la luz será mañana para los más, para todos aquellos que hoy lloran la noche, para quienes se niega el día, para todos la luz, para todos todo. Nuestra lucha es por hacernos escuchar y el mal gobierno grita soberbia y tapa con cañones sus oídos. Nuestra lucha es por un trabajo justo y digno, y el mal gobierno compra y vende cuerpos y vergüenzas. Nuestra lucha es por la vida, y el mal gobierno oferta muerte como futuro. Nuestra lucha es por la justicia, y el mal gobierno se llena de criminales y asesinos. Nuestra lucha es por la paz, y el mal gobierno anuncia guerra y destrucción. Techo, tierra, trabajo, pan, salud, educación, independencia, democracia.
As the U.S. economy continues to feast on a platter of shit kebabs, topped with anal cheese whiz, peeps who lose their jobs, and as a side effect, gain their freedom from wage servitude, are often faced with homelessness due to a sudden lack of green paper required by the law to inhabit in this motherfucking system. In short, if you can't pay the motherfucking rent, the sheriff's gonna kick your ass out to the curb. Yes, there are great advantages to not having to spend your days pushing pencils, like spending your time working to support the motherfucking resistance, but you are still going to need a place to crash and gangsta chill. When faced with this dilemma, you can always squat a building. To find out more about the ancient art of occupying spaces, I spoke with a veteran squatter, Steven DiCaprio. Hey Steve, how the fuck are you?
I'm doing good.
So, what the fuck is squatting?
Squatting is basically occupying property that you didn't purchase or you didn't inherit. It's basically occupying abandoned property. Although it could be, you know, abandoned, it could be occupying something for political purposes, like we were just talking a moment ago about people occupying public buildings, you know, and protest of something. But for me, what I focus on squatting is squatting abandoned properties, fixing them up, and turning them into something functional, you know, for organizers, anti-authoritarian people. People that basically want to make the world a better place.
And have you squatted any buildings?
The place I'm living now is, it was a single-family home, a Victorian. It was at one point turned into a duplex, and it was abandoned about 40 years ago. I first identified the property in late 2000, early 2001, and slowly, bit by bit, worked on it with different people over time. You know, there's like a big flux of who was working on it at any given time. And it was really destroyed. It was had a tree growing into the roof, had fire damage with, you know, and needles and just trash and dead carcasses of animals. And so it was just a really big project. And over the years, we finally got it to the point where it was cleaned out, and we fixed the roof and had running water and had some plumbing and started living in there. And, you know, we still don't have electricity. Not all the plumbing is working, just enough to, you know, for basic survival. And we have a camping stove.
Why the fuck did you start squatting?
It was really me seeing squats in Europe that gave me this idea, this inspiration that people could take over abandoned properties and render them to benefit, you know, to a positive benefit. For example, in Europe, I saw abandoned properties that had been squatted that were turned into community centers, social centers, where you'd have music, you'd have art, you'd have performances, also libraries. I even went to a school called La Prospe in Madrid, learned Spanish. And that was an occupation of an abandoned building by the Catholic Church.
Can you give me one tip on squatting a building?
One is to really be very deliberate about what you're doing. I mean, one of the biggest things I see people that are like, I'm a squatter, or let's squat, is they just have this really impetuous idea of squatting, and I really appreciate that, and I don't want to disabuse people of that. But it's to do what I'm doing, like to create a sustainable type of occupation. It needs a lot more thought. You need to do research. You need to go out and find not just one abandoned building, but you need to find 20 abandoned buildings, and you need to document everything about them. You need to do very exhaustive research, and you need to cover your ass legally. You need to try and track down the owners, contact them, see if they're even alive, see if they're around, because if they're around and you didn't do that research, they're going to show up on your doorstep and you're going to, you know, and that's going to be the end of your squat.
So what the fuck is the legality of squatting a building in the U.S.?
If you read the laws on the books here in California, it basically says you know, if you occupy land which is otherwise unoccupied, you're the owner. That's it. Again, if you occupy something, you're the owner. And it's up to anyone else to prove in a court of law that you're not. So, and it has to, and that person that proves in a court of law that you're not isn't the government. It has to be someone else that that claims ownership of that property. So technically, you know, America has, or at least California, and this applies to most of America, has really strong squatter's rights. That, you know, if you squat something, you own it. That's the way it's written. And that it was written that way for a purpose, because this country was basically subdivided by a bunch of squatters. You know, a bunch of people, you know, from Central Europe just spread across the land and put stakes in the ground and said, this is mine. They were squatters, and they wrote the laws. And the laws they wrote was, if you squat it, it is yours.
Thanks, Steve. And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine. A bunch of peeps clicked on that PayPal button and bought me off the workforce long enough to rock this shit out. Frederick, Nigel, Andrew, Kurt, Peter, Sean, Mike, Margaret, David, Jim, Joe the drummer, Sakura, Daniel, Adam, and Rodney. Kimpacha. Also, big double ups to our out-of-town interns, Audrey and Alex. To comment on this show or for links on squatting info, just visit my fucking website, stimulator.tv. Now, go quit your job already.
Remember, kids, you can podcast high-quality video of this show at submedia.tv.